next Sunday, January 1st, we are having a one-hour service very similar to this one. All families, you know, are going to be, you know, here together, but we wanted to kick off the new year right, all of us together in church, so that is next Sunday. All the rest of the information there for you is in there. I know you all can read, so you can take it home with you, and you will know, you know, what's happening. So at this time, we're going to continue with our worship as we give. So if the ushers can come on forward and get set. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just lead us in a prayer as we continue giving. Again, this is just as much a part of worship as the singing is, as giving of our lives, and we just want to continue in that now. So would you join me as we pray? Jesus, we love you. We just thank you so much for this night, for this service. Thank you for all of the first-timers here tonight. God, thank you that you brought them here. And as well, thank you for all of the Hope Hill family here. And God, we just want to give this service to you. Thank you for the worship already. We ask you to be with the teaching. We just ask your spirit to guide and to lead this service. And just be with us now as we give. God, just use these funds, use these gifts, use these offerings and these tithes to further your kingdom here. And just Jesus, it make a huge impact. So we just love you. Thank you for this season. Thank you for us celebrating you and your birth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Oh, Excelsis Deo Gloria. In Excelsis Deo.
So, you are wondering what's happening here tonight, yeah? Well, tonight, we are out in the field, as always, tending to the sheep. Because it's the lambing season, there were more of us than usual watching the flocks at night. We were just preparing for the second shift, when suddenly, there was a brilliant light. It was as if the light of 1,000 campfires suddenly descended on us. And there, in the middle of the light, was the most fearsome man I have ever seen. A warrior. He was dressed in white light and golden armor. You might wonder what an apparition like this would say to us. He said, "Do not be afraid." Easy for him to say. He's carrying a sword and surrounded by the light of the sun. But even as I heard the words, I felt the fear drain out of me. We all did. We came closer to hear what he would say next. He told us, "I bring good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord." My heart began to pound. The Messiah? Born now? Here in Bethlehem? "This shall be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." At this, some of the men began to laugh. The Messiah? In a manger. But no sooner had the laughter died on their lips than the sky was full of these warriors. And what do you think they did then, eh? This mighty army. They began to sing. They began to sing. Such singing you have never heard. My heart leapt in my chest. I thought it would leave my chest. But as suddenly as they appeared, they were gone. And there in the silence, we felt the world stand still. You know, my friends, I believe it was in that moment the baby was born, huh? Yeah. Well, I don't need to tell you we were excited, but some of us were still skeptical. "Oh, let us go and see this thing that's been told to us," they said. My friends, those warriors, they were indeed angels. And the child, he is indeed the Messiah. For did not the angels proclaim his birth? Some of us are still here. Some went into the village to tell the others the story, because having seen the child, there were no more skeptics. Come along. Come to the stable and see for yourself. Come. Come. Let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Would you stand with us and sing tonight? Oh, come, let us. Oh, come, let us adore.
Come, all ye faithful, joy.
singing exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Born this holy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh,
sing for you alone, for you alone I worthy, for you alone I worthy, for you alone I worthy, Christ. The we'll praise your name, we'll praise your name forever.
Let's just draw near and worship, O come.
O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore. O come, let us adore him.
So... this isn't going well. No, it's not. My wife, pregnant, uncomfortable, she had to travel for hundreds of miles on the back of a donkey. And then, once we got to our destination, no room at the inn. I can't even find her a bed to lay on. She had to give birth in a pile of hay in a stable. I only just married this girl. And I already can't provide for her. I don't know what to do with myself. And then there's the baby. Oh man, the baby. I think I bit off more than I can chew here. Yeah. See, there's just the Son of the Almighty Living God, the one who's supposed to come and change everything and save everything. He should have been born in a castle. He should be swaddled in something lined with gold. He should have handmaidens just giving him anything he wants, anything he needs, jewels, riches, milk, anything. Instead, he was born and put in a trough because I can't provide. I just don't understand. God entrusted me with his Son. And all I can give him is this place, which smells like, it doesn't smell good, it doesn't. And I just don't think I'm cut out for this. What if I can't provide? What if I'm just as bad at adopting a child as I am at adopting a wife? What if I can't do it? What if I mess this child up? I just, so much pressure of fatherhood that I don't even think that I can breathe. How am I supposed to raise the child of God? But then, I don't know, I mean, I look at him, and even in these meager circumstances, he looks peaceful. No, that's, he looks like peace. I look at him now, and you know, maybe everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be made right with him.
Child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sleep, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. Haste to bring him on, the babe, Son of Mary. While I see in such mean a state, where ox and ass are keeping, the instruments evil sinners, the sign of blood is keeping. Nails, spears shall pass him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, a loving heart enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings aloud. Child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
I have nothing. Why should I be mother to God? I am nothing. There are so many other girls, prettier, more righteous, better equipped. What am I but a girl promised to a carpenter who happens to be freaking out? I have nothing good to give. Nothing but milk in my breast and love in my heart. And what love? I never knew that I could be so swallowed up by affection for another person, but that he were a person. How will I keep from bowing down at his feet from dawn until dusk? And remember, he's just a baby and not, well, he is God. He is God. Ooh, how strange. The Lord God here with Joseph and I, small and quiet and fragile in this manger, smelly, coarse, and unkempt. I can't even give him a bed, but he calls me mother. He calls me enough. And when I look into his little perfect face, all I can think is, why?
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God had this messy plan, a plan to save the world. And to do that, he was going to send his son. Where does the God of the universe send his son? Where does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come? To a barn, a stable, a manger, of all places. Certainly no place fit for a king. But then again, this wasn't any ordinary king. When I say it was messy, I mean messy. It was a barn, a stable, right? So you've got animals and animal stuff, manure, mud, a pitiful place for people, much less a place for the King of Kings to be born. Why would God do that? Well, I can't tell you for sure, because Isaiah explains to us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But that same prophet, 400 years before Jesus was born, said, all we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way, and that he has laid our iniquities on him. You see, Jesus came to a messy place. Oh, yeah, a barn, a manger, that's messy. But he came to a messy world. Why? Because the shepherd was coming to take care of the sheep, to prepare a way for them to go home. That's what a shepherd does. He lives where the sheep are. He sleeps where they sleep. He eats where they eat. It got Jesus in trouble. Why did Jesus eat with sinners? Because that's what the shepherd does. An angel appeared to the shepherds in the field and said, this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. A sign. You ever wondered what that sign was? A sign for what? Maybe a sign that Jesus is accessible to everyone. A sign that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills can relate to a homeless person. Because Jesus never had a home, never had a place to rest his head. Maybe it was a sign that God would have nothing to do with the social status of mankind. A sign that he detests the splendor of humans because it's not worthy of him. But it was a sign for us that we should follow suit. In fact, the Apostle Paul later on would write, we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Although he was the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that he made himself nothing, becoming a servant, being made in human likeness. A servant. You see, being a servant is messy. And Jesus set this incredible example for us. I mean, he got down on his knees and he washed feet. The God of the universe, the God who deserved the best of everything, got on his knees. He's the God who came to the world and was laid in a manger, a feed trough of all places. Why such a messy place? Because he was following a messy plan. So needless to say, that very first Christmas was dirty. It was grimy, it was filthy. But thank God it was. Because without it, what a mess we'd be in.
First John chapter 1, actually not First John, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made or was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that who was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who would receive him, to those who would believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Merry Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of year. It's a time when we celebrate the greatest gift ever given. You see, back in the beginning of time, the book of Genesis records that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word for God in the book of Genesis, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse, the word for God is Elohim. And it speaks of Jesus as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God was there and made everything from nothing in a moment. And Jesus was there. And all was made by him, that passage in John just told us. And he made it beautiful. But as the video just pointed out to us, things didn't stay as God made them. The truth is that as God made us and put us in this world, he gave us another gift. And that gift was the gift to choose to love him or not, the gift to choose to follow him in his way or to go our own. And the Bible tells us that we decided to disobey God and sin came into our life. You know, this sin that the Bible speaks of is basically something that you and I, every one of us, are born into. There isn't a person in this room that is perfect. Every one of us has made mistakes. Now, you might be sitting next to someone who is really bad, and you may be better than them. But the truth is none of us are perfect. The Bible says that for all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. At the moment that humankind had sin come into our lives, we experienced a spiritual death, a separation between us and God. And God loved us. That's why he made us. God isn't a supreme being that was just wanting to play around and make some little people to have fun with. God made us desiring to have a loving, close, intimate relationship with us. And when we broke his heart by breaking the law, it hurt him and pained him so bad, so much. And his love for us drove him to make the most difficult decision ever. And that was his decision to become flesh, to come and to dwell among us, and to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to pay for my sins and for yours. A couple thousand years ago, on that Christmas morning, Jesus became flesh, and the most wonderful gift ever given came and made his dwelling place among us. This Christmas season, my question to you is this. Do you know the greatest gift? Have you ever received the greatest gift? Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to have an early Christmas present. I know on Christmas Eve growing up, my parents would excite us because it was always our tradition in our home that after Christmas Eve service, we'd go home and we'd get to open up one gift under the tree. And I always went for the biggest one. About the age of 13, 14, my parents caught on and I opened up a box, and in it was another box. And in that box was another box, all the way down to a lousy pair of pajamas. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to get something better than a lousy pair of pajamas. I want to give you the opportunity to receive the greatest gift ever given. And that is the gift of a loving relationship with the supreme being, the God of the universe, who came down. And the Bible says, considering equality with all supreme Godhead, Jesus lowered himself and became a servant, lowering himself to come down, not to be some rich ruler, some mighty king to come and do away with all wrong. Instead, he came as a lowly baby, the child of a carpenter. And what's amazing about the Christmas story, and I hope tomorrow morning that each of you as families will open up to the book of Luke chapter 2. Actually, in a few minutes, my family is going to join me up here as we light our Advent candle, and we're going to read through Luke chapter 2. And my hope is tomorrow that before you open any presents, I know, boys and girls, you're excited to open presents, but my hope is tomorrow, in order for us to really make sure our hearts are in the right place, we take a time to pause and think about what is Christmas really all about. Christmas presents are fun. I can't wait to open up my presents tomorrow. But my hope is that you'll take a time and a moment to pause and really look at the story of the greatest gift ever given. Tonight, I want to share it with you. You see, I know many of us have grown up in America, and so we've probably heard the Christmas story every year, as long as we can remember. But my question to you tonight is, have you ever really opened up your heart to receive that gift that was given? The Bible tells us that when God made the earth years and years ago, it was perfect, but we made that choice to sin, and that put a separation between us and God. The Bible says that God is holy, and in him there can be no darkness. So at the moment that we break one little sin, the moment we reach into a cookie jar and take one cookie without having permission, that sin comes and separates us from God. But the greatest gift ever given is that Jesus Christ himself says that I have come to give life to all who will receive it. The Bible says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies and against him, he lowered himself even to the place of taking on death on a cross. And to all who will believe in him, to all who will confess his name, they will be saved. The book of John that we just read said that those who Jesus came to rejected him. The Jewish people, he was from the line of David, and he came. They were expecting a Messiah, a king to come. But when Jesus came, it wasn't the king they wanted. They wanted a king that was going to come and set them free from the Roman Empire, to restore their dignity, restore their place, restore their property, to stop the taxation that was going on like crazy. They wanted a mighty, powerful, ruling king, not some baby. And yet Jesus came. And the Bible tells us that anybody who would believe in him, anybody who would receive him, they could have the right to become the children of God. So tonight, the truth is that we all, without Jesus, are separated from God. But God's love is poured out for all of us, and all we have to do is simply say, Jesus, forgive me for the mistakes I've made. Forgive me for the things that I've done that are wrong. Come into my life. Make me new. Make me the person you want me to be. And the Bible says that Jesus will come and live in us. The Holy Spirit will come and make us new and give us the greatest gift ever, the gift of a loving relationship with our Father, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Son. Tonight, if you've never received that gift, my hope is that you will. Jesus, when he came, and many of the religious of the day made fun of him. They put him down. They said, Who is this supposed to be? He claims to be the Son of God, and yet he hangs out with sinners. He hangs out with liars and cheats and tax collectors. And he even has dinner with women, prostitutes nonetheless. Who is this? Who is this person? And Jesus himself said that a doctor comes for the sick. It is those that need his love. Jesus, the Bible says, came not to condemn, but to give life. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight, that gift is extended to you. In a moment, we're going to light these candles in this wreath. Each of these candles represents a quality that comes from Jesus himself. The shortest candle here we lit 4 weeks ago, and that is the candle of hope. And the truth is that there is no hope except for hope that comes in Jesus Christ. The name of our church, a lot of you know if you drive down to Spriggs, it's named after Hope Hill Crossing. But the truth is as we drove by it, we pictured, my wife and I, the hill that brought hope ultimately 2,000 years ago. And that was the hill of Calvary, where Jesus died on a cross for you and for me. And it is that hill that brings hope. The second candle we lit was the candle of peace. And the truth is that many of us go through trying times in our life, in our world. There are wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things happening. And the last thing we would say is we live in a world full of peace. But the truth is that if we come to know Jesus, we will come to know a peace that passes understanding, a peace that passes through us to others to help us even in the hardest of times. The third candle we lit just a couple weeks ago, and that is the candle of joy. I've often had a lot of friends that I've kept in touch with through the years, and they've shared with me that they're just not happy in life. And they make certain decisions based on trying to pursue happiness. But the truth is that life is not about the pursuit of happiness. Life is about having joy, and joy even in the midst of hard times. joy even in the midst of times that we are nothing even close to happy. Joy comes again as a gift through God. And tonight we light the candle of love, showing God's greatest love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the center candle will light tonight, the Christ candle, representing all of these elements that are offered to each of us if we simply allow Him to come into our hearts. We will also invite you to come up. At Hope Hill Church, we often take communion as a community. And the reason we do this is because Jesus Himself said that when you take bread and break it, remember the way that my body was broken for you. When you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And then Jesus took a cup as He was sitting with His disciples, and He passed it around. He said, "This cup is a covenant between myself and you. It is a representation of the blood that I will shed, the blood that will be shed to forgive you of all of your sins." These elements we take in remembrance of what Christ did for us. If you have opened up your heart to receive the gift of God in your life, tonight we invite you to take these and to remember what Christ has done. Will you bow with me as we pray? My question to you, have you received the greatest gift ever? Tonight, I want to give you a chance if you haven't. The Bible says, simply put, that we are born separated from God because of the sin in our life. But God loves us and extends His grace and His forgiveness to us if we simply will put our trust in Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on a cross, His body broken, His blood shed to forgive us, to wash us white as snow. Tonight, if you believe that and receive that, you can pray these words to God with me right now. Just pray these words. Father God, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to become the person that you've created for me to be. Help me to follow you. Tonight, I receive the greatest gift ever given, and that is in you giving your Son on a Christmas morning to come, born, to die for me. Help me now to live for you. As the pastor of Hope Hill Church, I want to pray for you tonight. So tonight, if you would say, "Pastor John, tonight I receive the gift of Jesus Christ into my life. I receive His forgiveness, and I want to be new." Would you just look at me and raise your hand so I can pray for you tonight as we leave? Just raise your hand. I receive the gift tonight. Is there anybody tonight who received the gift of Jesus Christ? I see that hand. Anybody else? Tonight, I pray, I open up my heart, and I receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else tonight? Thank you. God, I thank you so much for those who are here tonight. I thank you so much for the gift that you gave when you sent your only Son to come and to be with us. And God, I pray now that as we leave this service, as we go to love and to serve you in our own homes, and to celebrate tomorrow morning a wonderful Christmas day, I pray that we will celebrate your presence in the midst of us. So now, Lord, as we prepare to receive communion, God, I pray that our hearts would be made right with you. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite my family to come up. We're going to read the passage from Luke chapter 2 with you real quick. And then after we're done reading and lighting the Advent candle, we invite you to come up and to have communion as a family together.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. True. Taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother.
and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Just sing, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep. In heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Will you stand together as we sing?
Silent night, holy night, Son of
His pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for the life that you gave to come and live here and to be with us. Thank you for the gift of your love, the gift of your forgiveness, the gift of your joy, your peace, and your hope. Lord, help us to now be lights in this world so often full of darkness, and to share your love, your light, your joy, your peace with all those who you bring into our paths. In your name we pray. Amen.